coming up. How do we look at day three and where Big Blue continue to improve? We dive in coming up next. Now, as we turn our attention to the remainder of this board and the draft. So one thing, I'll throw out this question immediately to Andy because it really does fascinate me. TJ Tampa is the falling cornerback here out of Iowa State, 46th overall on the big board, 6'1", 189, a solid. I don't know if I ever looked at him and said, oh, this is a guy at 47 that I think the Giants should take. He was never top on my list of cornerbacks, but I find it fascinating that he's still sitting out there, even though you would say, well, Cordell Flott, he's going to play on the outside, et cetera. I find it very curious as the Giants start to come up here and a guy like Cam Hart is going to be there, 100 players taken in the first three rounds with compensatories to go along with it. Ninth available is Cam Hart. Any chance, just very quickly, any chance you think the Giants would go back into the cornerback pool if they felt like an outside corner was available for them? It'd be an acknowledgement that Cordell Flott hasn't necessarily worked out, but based on where you took Cordell Flott, you know, you have to bring in bodies here. I do find it interesting if the talent is there and we're talking about best player available.
You know, Adam, it's a good question. My answer to you would be, I just don't think the Giants would dip in there for two reasons. One is that they already have addressed the cornerback position with Andrew Phillips. You may say, well, they need at least another corner. Great, but at least they solidified a guy that could be a potential starter out of the gate, right?
100%. Yeah, my only reason to ask it is, if you believe Andrew Phillips is best suited in the slot, then the biggest offseason we thought about was, like, one of the top needs was, well, the outside corner across from Banks. So you would say, if you think in-house it's Flott, great. But in theory, we wouldn't say that they've addressed the outside corner need at this point.
Nope, I agree. The second piece of it is, Adam, the Giants had two opportunities to take TJ Tampa, and they decided not to take TJ Tampa. They could have taken him at 47 and said, we need that corner desperately. The idea of TJ Tampa, why is he there? He's such an amazing talent. You look at it, and you know we love using the RAS scores, the relative athletic scores. Kent Lee Platt does a great job on Twitter putting up visuals and highlights where the relative athletic score is for these players. TJ Tampa did not score very well. He scored a 6.31 out of 10. It ranked 894th out of 2,400 cornerbacks that have been tested. So, you know, he's not necessarily a top tier athlete. And so because of that, you know, it's tougher to teach. When you look at a guy like Andrew Phillips, who the Giants picked ahead of him, 8.89 was number 248 out of all of those. So you're talking about, you know, his athletic is significantly higher than someone like TJ Tampa, which is why he's still available. So the question is, do you want a guy at this point that has more upside with his raw athleticism that you can end up molding into a player? Or do you want a guy that had decent production in TJ Tampa, but maybe has these physical limitations that he'll never be able to get to X type of player for you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And you know, it's funny too, like safeties, you look at the RAS score a little bit differently because of expectations and what the role is. That RAS score to me reads like, oh, you would be maybe good as a safety and comes out of the box and can do some coverage things. But Tampa was never talked about that way. So it's always fickle how that ends up impacting it. And frankly, again, maybe it's the 40 time. Maybe he's a little bit tight in the hips. You combine one or two kind of downside traits and you go, boy, I can just picture this guy on the outside watching burners run past him at the NFL level. And that can be a real problem. So I always find it fascinating, though, as we always say, for two guys that are, you know, we try to read up, we try to watch, we try to look at all these prospects. TJ Tampa was there the entire time leading up to the draft, through the combine, everywhere. He was always right where he was ranked inside of that top group of talent. And now here we are. Here we are going into day three, and all of a sudden he's there. And it always makes me suspicious about what the NFL and scouting departments and GMs, I think they're always playing games with us. They never want to tell us the full story, and there's always going to be some of those players that do fall. Yeah, Cam Hart would be the guy that I'd actually be looking at even over Tampa here if we talk about pick 107 for the New York Football Giants. Now, when you go and look at some of those top 30 visits, a lot of guys like Cooper Beebe, he went just after the Giants to the Dallas Cowboys a couple picks later. We saw Ben Sinnott. He's also gone off the board there. He was the 93rd overall, came in for a visit as well. By the way, Patrick Paul, 132 on the board. I thought, you know, hey, 107, that's the perfect spot. I talked about him ahead of the draft. He's gone. Like, he went miles ahead. So you're seeing, play, as you mentioned, it's not just best player available based on the overall board. It's your board. Where do you have these players ranked? You don't care. I took at 70. We took the cornerback that you think is 86 or 102. Doesn't matter. He was up there for us on our board. Who are some of the names you like then if we expand away from the secondary? Offensive line, maybe still a depth need here, although I'm doubting now whether or not the Giants are going to go offensive line at this point, maybe not until 166 or 183 if we're thinking specifically 107 to start.
So there's three picks left for the Giants in the draft, Adam.
That's right.
Those three picks are pick 107 in the fourth round.
Oh, I thought you were going to, wow. You know what, just real quick, I thought you were going to say those three picks are, and then give me three very specific names and be like, so don't even bother watching the draft on day three. I got you covered.
If you want that, I'm happy to provide you who the Giants are going to pick. Talked to Joe Shane earlier. He said, just please don't tell anyone. Like, don't go on a podcast and say anything. So hopefully this doesn't reach the
interwebs. We're all friends here, though.
Yeah. But listen, the Giants have picked 107 in the fourth round, 166 in the fifth round, and 183 in the sixth round. So they have a pick coming up in each of the next rounds. The challenge, Adam, is the gap between pick 107 and 166 is rather large. I was looking at certain players and I'm like, man, I wish we had two picks in like the next 20 picks, because there's so many guys that are going to be gone by the time you pick again at 166.
We're talking trade back?
I could see an opportunity for the Giants to try to get back in and get a few players that they want, knowing that they have not utilized any draft capital to move up for Drake May or move up in the second round to get another cornerback. What if they ship another sixth round pick or something next year to be able to go up and get the guys that they want this year? So keep that in mind. I think it's a distinct possibility, knowing that there are still tons of holes. Now, my perfect way to go through this over the next three picks is to address three different positions.
What's your position for 107?
Well, I mean, this is the difficult.
Oh, you're saying in totality, you want to get these
in totality. I want them to get address three different spots on this roster, and I will feel like it has been successful.
Andy wants a running back at some point in here. Andy,
that is correct.
Also wants a tight end somewhere in here.
That is correct.
And he probably does still want the offensive line.
That is correct.
Come
Adam.
On, ding, ding, ding. We don't even do pre-show.
It feels like, with the uncertainty around Darren Waller, the fact that Saquon Barkley has left, and who is running the football? Is Eric Gray running the football behind Devin Singletary? Like, I don't know. I think I'd probably want to maybe take a flyer on someone. Cool. And we talk about the interior offensive line. We're not really sure where Evan Neal's going to play. It feels like a guard could be something that is really, really interesting. So I know if the Giants end up taking a running back, you have someone in mind that you feel like would be kind of a knock it out of the park. If you would rather me talk about tight end or interior offensive line, I got two names for you that I think are really interesting.
Start with tight end here, just because when we're talking about, you look at the board right now, best available players, there are multiple tight ends right now that would be available or could fall, obviously, here as the day three starts off here, whether it's Sanders out of Texas, whether it's going to be Stover, who we talked a lot about leading up to this draft. He's there out of Ohio State as well. So go with tight end. Would you? And here's the funny part. I mentioned those guys because Andy has typically been more of a deep cut player when it comes to the tight end position. So I don't even know if he's, I don't even think he's going to go with those top two guys. I bet he's going to tell me something around like 166 is where he targets a tight end.
Well, it's tough. I'll tell you. So when we talk about specifically the tight end group, you mentioned some of the guys that are higher up on the tight end list. Jatavion Sanders is one guy that is right up there. He's the second ranked tight end behind Brock Bowers. I am not interested in Jatavion Sanders. And I'm
neither
not interested because while he is 6'4", 245, he does not block anyone. Literally does not block anyone. He is a very one-dimensional tight end. He is actually, his comp is very similar to a Darren Waller type player, where it's like, you can set him out wide. He's explosive. He's an amazing player. Huge catch radius, really causes problems for the defense. As a tight end, he gave up three sacks when he was asked to block. He gave up four pressures when he was asked to block. And he wasn't even actually asked to block all that often, considering he's not very good at it. And so the challenge is, five-star recruit, can catch the ball, huge catch radius, awesome pass catcher. But it doesn't feel like that's what the Giants are necessarily targeting when they think about a tight end. They want a capable and willing run blocker and pass blocker. So I'm just right out of the gate saying Jatavion Sanders is not someone for me.
I'm going to tell the people who Andy's pick is here. I'm going to go on a limb. It's also it's my pick. It's at least a player that I really like. Theo Johnson, Penn State. I think that he is a excellent tight end prospect for the Giants. 125 on the big board. Don't know if it's 107 worthy. Maybe make that margin move from 166. But he fits the mold. Willing blocker, big body guy, and someone that has like the fundamental pieces. And the production is low coming out of college. But again, same kind of thing. All the skills are there. Think the tight end of Andrew, you know, the Andrew Phillips of tight ends. Okay, the stats aren't quite all there, but we believe that he can be built into that kind of player.
You are absolutely right. He's number 104 on the big board on NFL Draft Buzz. They have him 104. You know, the other boards have him at 125. 6'6", 259. Great. He has great hands, Adam. When he was asked to catch the ball, he is a great pass catcher. You can put him out and just have him run routes, or you could keep him in line and make him at, you know, a run blocker or the deception of play action. He is a willing blocker, and he's only going to get better with coaching. To me, he would be a great pick. We don't know the status of Darren Waller. We do like Dane Belton. We know Lawrence Cager has been here before and others. It would be nice to get a big-bodied tight end so that if Darren Waller does not come back, the idea of Daniel Bellinger and Theo Johnson makes too much sense for the New York Giants. I saw Art Stapleton, beat writer for the Giants, mention his name. I saw Dan Duggan, beat writer for the Giants for The Athletic, mention his name. Everyone is circling Theo Johnson as a perfect fit for the Giants. I feel the same way. So if they're going to address the tight end, it's one of those things where it's like, do you take him at 107? Do you try to take another area of need, thinking that he could still be there with all the tight ends that are on the board and try to trade back in? But to me, he's a player that the Giants are going to be targeting in the fourth or fifth round.
Okay, so as we turn our attention over to running back here, I will quickly just say, you want a deep cut from me watching the combine and liking the way this player performed? Go look at Dalen Holker, Colorado State. He's near 200 on the big board right now. So if you're talking about maybe the Giants feel they have other areas of need or best player available becomes more significant, maybe Darren Waller is a little bit closer to sticking around, whatever the case may be, he'd be a player where, hey, we're going to add to it when we can. We brought in some players this offseason. Nice guy to keep an eye on here as well. I'll take a look here. We got a Jordan Travis shout out as well from Devin Griffin in the chat as well. Okay, now let's flip it over to running back here, because there's two players for me. There's the one that I think is absolutely the sexiest possible pick that you could make at 107 if he's going to fall there for you. He currently sits there as being the best running back available in the draft. That's Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. He has 4.38 40 time. And you go and look and think about that. You have three wide receivers right now that are 4.4 sub 40 times. It just feels like, man, you have Devin Singletary there. You have that, you know, physical between the tackle kind of running back. Go get another weapon. Go turn this offense in one draft class, turn this offensive unit over and make it incredibly dynamic in the blink of an eye. Now, I have another running back, a deeper cut if you want to go that way, but it just seems really hard, man. I don't think you and I did not suspect that he would be here at this point necessarily, 97 on ESPN's, but we knew that the running back class in general was going to take a while to start to see that roll off the board.
You know, Adam, when you talk about speed, you just can't teach speed. Imagine the speed of Jalen Hyatt, Malik Nabers, and Jalen Wright all on the field at the same time with Wandell Robinson and shiftiness in the slot. Like, for whatever you think of the quarterback position, it is dangerous weapons all over the field. Imagine them running motions and jet sweeps and reverse plays with that type of speed. It's just something you can't teach. I think it is a nice compliment to Devin Singletary. Now, we talk about his usage in college and the simplicity of the Tennessee offense. Jalen Wright didn't really get to showcase all of it, all of his skills. Keep in mind, Adam, the Dallas Cowboys still desperately need a running back and are going to be drafting behind the New York Giants. If you leave someone like that to another team, you open it up to the Giants having to face that type of speed on a regular basis. The one thing I will say is it does feel like the running back position is deep and you just don't know when the run is going to come. And so for me, like if you said Audric Estime from Nyack, New York, local guy, Notre Dame product, he's a guy that you could plug and play immediately. He's a little bit of a slow plotter, 4.7, 140, doesn't really have the top line speed. But then you also have Isaac Garendo from Louisville, who has 4.33 type speed. He's a fifth-round guy. Bucky Irving is there in the fifth round. So it almost, you know, Braylon Allen's another guy with 4.440 speed. You're talking about a lot of guys that are still there. And at 107, are you saying, should we need to get our guy now? Or do you say, maybe we take Theo Johnson, maybe we take the interior offensive lineman and take one of those running backs later on with one of our picks?
Yeah, and this is the part of it, man. You mentioned the one player there who he was initially the guy that I brought up because I've been of the mindset later is when you'll go get this running back. Why do you go get Singletary? So you don't have to feel like you press to replace Saquon Barkley immediately. Isaac Werendo, you said 4.33 speed. Yeah, he's 6 foot, 221 pounds, man. He takes on hits at the point of attack, right? Like he's a physical runner. He's not the perfect prospect, right? It takes him a little while to get up to speed there. But when you talk about body strength and just being able to bring in essentially another wrecking ball, like if I think about it in terms of you can go ultra dynamic Jalen Wright style and have everybody and all these weapons and all this speed. And by the way, again, Isaac has speed as well. But I just like the idea of when you bring in a change, we're going to change it up from Singletary. You bring in a dude that will literally blow up a linebacker as he's getting outside the hashes and still has that speed to get up to that level and go ahead and break off some big chunks. I like him a lot. And he's 146 on ESPN. I don't know. I doubt that in mocks that I did, he initially made it to 166 and then slowly stopped making it there. So again, overall for running backs, do you make that margin move up to get a player like that? But I love him. And when you mentioned that group overall, there's some nice wait and see in 166. You probably find a really good value.
Yeah, the Giants brought in Audric Estime from Notre Dame for a top 30 visit. They like him. The challenge that I have with him is I like him as a player. I don't like him as the complementary piece necessarily in the running back room.
Yeah.
You may say, oh, well, he can just ground and pound, you know, hand it to him up the middle. He's a big bruiser. It's like, well, you know, Eric Gray ran a 4.6 240. He's not necessarily a speedster or a burner. You expect Devin Singletary to be the guy that kind of takes the lion's share of runs and takes some of the big hits. I kind of want a guy that has game-changing speed, right? It feels like in the backfield, that would be a nice complement to what they have already. And that's where we really talk about, you know, Garendo is one of them. I think Braylon Allen has 4.4 40 mm-hmm. speed. There's a handful of guys that you sit there and say, Jalen Wright, obviously 4.38. Those feel like they would complement a little bit better in the running back room. But I do believe the Giants will address the running back position in one of these next three picks.
Double dip maybe at Kentucky if you want to. Ray Davis is the second best running back currently on the board, 129 on ESPN's. Okay, overall then, we say tight end, we say running back. If we're talking about best player available, anybody here, well, we can just stay specifically around 107 as we get into this. Is there someone there that you feel like is available, maybe at a surprising position? I'll throw out the idea that a player like this would be, again, just talking about it's just a weapon and we want to add weapons. Troy Franklin, 6'2", 176, out of Oregon, wide receiver. You'd say, do we need another wide receiver? Joe Shane addressed that they already gave the roster bonus to Darius Slayton, so the likelihood of him being moved seems less. But I'm just pointing out players, man. When you start to look at these boards, and it's at a certain point, Brendan Rice is right behind him there, by the way, two picks back. Obviously, Jerry's son, 6'2", 208. Anywhere you want to go, any position, but it's just when you look there, there's still a lot of talent. I'm sure you want to highlight a couple of offensive linemen as well.
You know, someone in the chat, Ken, you just get it. You just get it. You and me, like-minded people.
Mahogany, so, thick like wood.
Yes, yes. Rich Mahogany, actually. Rich
Mahogany. Oh, come on. Is that his first name?
No, imagine it was.
Sweet. Never mind. His apartment's honestly, we're at the end of the podcast right now. I thought his name, how could you not name your kid Rich if his last name's Mahogany and he seems like he has the measurables to play offensive line?
No, I mean, that is actually hilarious. But his name is Christian Mahogany. He is an offensive guard from Boston College.
No, I'm not as impressed anymore.
You're not as impressed. I am impressed. I am impressed from what I've seen about him and the type of player that he is. He is a willing run blocker. He is excellent in the run game. He has really good size, and he has the potential to be a starting guard for you for years to come. The reason why he sat around for so long is because he really needs to get better with his footwork. While he is a really capable run stopper or run blocker in the run game, his footwork isn't great against edge rushers. Counter moves seem to get him a little bit. So that speed in the NFL, he has to figure out how to get his footwork better. That's on Carmen Brasillo. That's why you bring in an offensive line coach like you did. But Adam, I was messaging with Art Stapleton, beat writer of NorthJersey.com. I said, doesn't Christian Mahogany make sense in the third round? He said, not necessarily a priority in the third. Keep in mind, the Giants and Joe Shane had a local visit with Christian Mahogany, brought him in to have some discussions, are familiar with him. Adam, just when you think about where he is, on NFL Draft Buzz, Of the top 24 offensive linemen that are rated there, he is the only one that is still available on the big board.
Yeah.
Currently, ESPN has him as the 48th best player that's still remaining. So there is a wide margin of opinions on where he sits. Do the Giants sit there and hope that he's still there? You know, with their fifth round pick, do they say we need interior offensive line help and move him at 107? It feels like between multiple places, he could go anywhere in the fourth or the fifth round. It's all about prioritization. But Adam, I'm telling you, Jalen Wright is a great call out. Theo Johnson, the tight end from Penn State, feels like a guy the Giants want. And I think Christian Mahogany is another player that the Giants should look at. If the Giants walked away with Theo Johnson, Jalen Wright, and Christian Mahogany, you may as well just go like this and be like, are you not entertained? Like the gladiator piece of it where he kind of throws the sword up at Joaquin Phoenix. But to me, that's my game plan. How would that land to you if the Giants walked away with one, two, or all three of those players?
Oh, listen, yeah. I how could you knock it? I think the Theo Johnson and Jalen Wright would seem electric because you're addressing big areas of need. I think that adding anything across the offensive line, the one thing I'll mention is, could we like Cooper Beebe? Obviously, we talked about players higher in the draft that the Giants could look at. I think fundamentally, so here's the one thing that I really did think about, even beyond top 30 visits. If you think about as Andy would say, follow the money. Well, where did the Giants spend money in the offseason? Offensive line, they went ahead and brought in two veterans. Doesn't mean it's the long-term future, but they brought in guys to stabilize that. Brian Burns, you trade for him, you give him a massive contract. Linebacker, edge rusher, front core, right? Where did they not spend money in the offseason? In the secondary, where did they not spend money in the offseason? At the wide receiver position. So, obviously, top of the board, we get Malik Nabers, right? We go and we get ourselves a safety. We get ourselves a cornerback. So, I try to look at those. Tight end would be, yes, you spent some money in free agency, but you know how much. You know, that's kind of how I looked at it too, though. What were they not able to address, and what would you want to see them go out and get? So, you know, does it make me shy away a little bit from 107 and Jalen Wright just being what I think the Giants will go do? Of course, but those type of players, man, you listed it. There's three or four really solid running backs that I'd be happy to have there. Tight ends, I think there's plenty of options there as well. So for me, Mahogany, I think, is a great call too. When you get that type of top talent, it looks like on the board overall that's fallen, absolutely elite. The only wrinkle that I'll throw in here as we start to wind ourselves down is just think about the board overall and what is going to be just the positional value. And this is where I would say, look inside the defensive tackle position. I think that they still want to add depth there. I think they want to continue to build what is one of their strengths. Mekhi Wingo out of LSU is certainly a possibility, though that's higher on the board here. I think you have to take him at 107, obviously. But you go down there a little bit more, there's a couple other of guys that I really did like as well. Christian Boyd would be another one out of Northern Iowa, 155, 6'4", 317 pounder. So I would throw out just that positional value, probably 166, 183, not talking about 107. But you have to look at that and think the Giants want to bolster what's been strong for them and still an area that they did not go out and sign anyone in free agency, lost Leonard Williams, lost Robinson from last year too. So, you know, they have young players in that room, but they did not bring in any other talent there.
Yeah, I agree. The interior defensive line is important. It is definitely something that the Giants should consider. I'd be happy if they addressed it here. You mentioned the wide receiver room. I think that is an interesting one, but the Giants have shown throughout their top 30 visits and otherwise that they were going to be looking at the top of the draft for a wide receiver, and then they were going to be looking for the fringe preferred free agent signing type guys. I highlighted specifically Tajon Palmer of UAB as a guy I could totally see the Giants saying, we have other areas of need. Let's get Palmer on the phone and explain to him, the second the draft is over, we want you to come to New York. We're going to give you a little bit of extra money. And he rounds out the wide receiver room. And you have Bryce Ford Wheaton, you have Tajon Palmer, you have all these guys that are complimentary looking to backfill the wide receiver room. I absolutely think that's the way the Giants go. Look for Tajon Palmer as a guy. Right as everything concludes, there's going to be a frenzy, Adam, of all these guys that didn't get drafted. He is one of the guys that you will likely see the Giants end up bringing in.
Two players in that regard at the cornerback position. We think you want to bring in another player, but you're not going to necessarily invest in the next three picks in. Chow Smith-Wade out of Washington State, 227 overall ranked cornerback. And then a guy that I really like, at least you need to bring in. He's 365 on the big board. So you didn't want to spend it at the first, you know, first round, sixth overall. but Chigozie and Aseem, excuse me, out of Colorado State. I like him. Again, you go look at these prospects, there's a reason why they're lower on draft boards, but there seems like there's something there in terms of fundamentally having some of those core traits that you want if you're the Giants. And again, top 30 visits. So to Andy's point, these aren't guys that you're talking about getting picked inside of the draft, but you want to establish those relationships so that as the draft is winding down, you say, hey man, as soon as that final pick, Mr. Irrelevant, goes in, we're going to be on the phone to you. We're going to try to get these players into the building. And then you get into the off season and all these bodies are in camp and you see how things shake out. I will just add into that wide receiver group too. If he were to fall out of the draft, seems unlikely, 211 on ESPN's big board, Cornelius Johnson out of Michigan. Talk about all the traits, 6'3", 212, big body guy, has all the traits and just needs the team to bring him in and develop him, continue to bring him along, probably in a Bryce Ford Wheaton kind of mold, right? But just bring in a body like that. So I agree with you. Wide receiver, listen, I don't know what player would be on the Giants board where they go, oh my God, I can't believe that this guy is here. You already got Neighbors as well. So I would push that one back. Running back, I think, is situational value for the Giants. Tight end, fringe, you know, and I think this BPA kind of mentality probably matters here as well. Anybody else, Andy, before we button this one up, that you want to have on the minds of Giants fans? And I think this is BPA, position doesn't matter, just great talent in the draft right now.
I mean, who says it better than New Yorker in the chat that says, I want right now? I mean, oh, come on. It's a clever pun. It's a guy that we've highlighted.
It's not Rich Mahogany, but the guy's doing work. I mean, you got to at least try.
I do really think that the running back room is important for the Giants to address. Braylon Allen is a name that I just want to keep at the tip of the tongue. He is a freak athlete. Yeah. You know, at Wisconsin, he's a guy that you could plug in immediately and give carries to, and you'd be pretty happy. He's got 4.40 speed. I do think, Adam, they have to address the running back position. It's just a matter of where. Is it more value in the fifth round knowing there's six or seven guys out there? Or have you identified that Jalen Wright has this elite speed? And also, yeah, like, is Jalen Hyatt in the ear, like, texting Joe Shane being like, bring him home? Like, come on, we need another guy from Tennessee. Maybe Wandell Robinson was doing that with Andrew Phillips. But, man, what a game changer Wright would be.
Maybe John Michael Smith was doing that with Tyler Newbin. Dude, the connections, buddy, the connections are happening all around here. So yeah, listen, I really like it. And there's going to be things when this wraps up, when the draft concludes come Monday morning, we'll talk about all the final picks that the Giants made, obviously break down how it fits, and then get right back into free agency. We're seeing there someone like the New Yorker thrown out back into the cornerback vet after the draft. Yeah, there's names that we've talked about, right? Wallace, formerly of Pittsburgh. I think there's plenty of names out there for the Giants to go and bring in veteran talent across the entire roster. So going to be interesting to see here. Running back, tight end, offensive line depth. That's where we think this team is going to go over their final three picks. We're going to go ahead and follow us on X if you're out there, because we'll put our list together here. Mild variations. I think we'll have like a two-player variation here across our six total guys that we'll give you to look at over these final four rounds. I got there. In the end, I got there. Three picks.
Three picks, four rounds.
Football Giants, obviously trying to get this thing locked up, trying to improve this roster, and then we'll start to break down what it all means for them as they work towards their offseason. Get us on YouTube where you're watching us right now. Turn on the alerts so you know when we're going live. We have really appreciated everyone that comes and supports morning sessions for OGP fan base. I love it. You can get us on X at AMAC214, at Adam Armbrecht, and at One Giant Podcast. Of course, we will be talking and chatting up all throughout the draft the rest of the weekend, and then breaking it down bright and early Monday morning, how Big Blue helped turn the corner on this franchise going forward. Until next time, though, until the best times. As Andrew Mackowitz would want, need, and nay, demand the people know.
As always, let's go Big Blue.